This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Sheffield United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. For the next 30 minutes, it is the Blades and the Blades only, as it always is every Tuesday on Love Sport at 10:30 to 11 o'clock. And it can only mean one more thing. It means I'm joined by the delightful James Shield from the Sheffield Star. James, this is one of my most favourite times of the week. We get to talk about Sheffield United, and we get to talk about them after the back when they've not beat Arsenal, which is much more of an enjoyable experience for me, I'm guessing, over this next 30 minutes. But you nearly beat another London side, 1-1 on the weekend, James. What did you make of the game?
Yeah, I thought it was... I really enjoyed it. It was interesting for me as well. It was the first time I've actually been to the London Stadium, but the first time I've been there to work. So it was interesting just to sort of pick up on the atmosphere and see what it's like, and about whether some of the complaints the West Ham supporters have had about the stadium sort of architecture and atmosphere were right. I have to admit, I think they were. I don't really think it's a stadium that's fit for football purpose, if you get my drift. It's a wonderful ground, probably just not for football. But more importantly, Sheffield United got a good 1-1 draw, kept the unbeaten run away from home going. So they haven't lost in the Premier League this season on the road. They haven't lost actually on the road since January, which is, I think a pretty remarkable record. I think any point away from home in the Premier League is one to be applauded. And, let's be right, for all the fact West Ham might not be on a great run at the moment, they're still an established Premier League side, and they've still got a striker who costs north of £40 million leading their attack. So, all in all, really good afternoon, I thought, for Sheffield United.
Yeah, 100%, James. And I wanted to ask you, because there's so many questions from the game. We know, obviously, Tevez gate, but... Pellegrini after the match said, West Ham, this was 2 points drop. We dominated the game. But I did the West Ham fan show earlier, and they said, not a chance. We don't know why he's come out and said that. They felt they were terrible performers on the day in Sheffield United. They knew how they were going to come at them. What did you make of the game? Were West Ham worthy of the win, or you felt like Sheffield were valid for the point?
No, I'd agree with the West Ham fans who said that on your station earlier, Charlie. I think, first off, West Ham were the better side. Absolutely no doubt about that. I think they controlled the game. Interestingly enough, although they probably sort of dominated possession and they were the team asking possibly the biggest questions in open play, Sheffield United were the side in the first half who actually enjoyed the better chances. Which was quite interesting to see. So, listen, if Manuel Pellegrini had been giving that press conference, post-match press conference at half-time, if you get my drift, I think it would have been difficult to disagree with him. From what I saw in the second half, I would pick him up on that and take exception to it. I thought Sheffield United, although West Ham had a little flurry at the end of the game, as you would probably expect being the home team, I thought Sheffield United in open play and in terms of the questions that they posed and the way they went about their business, I thought they showed great character to come back from conceding a goal just before the break. Probably one of the worst times you can concede. Chris Wilder will have been tearing up his half-time team talk in the technical area. I thought Sheffield United were more than worthy of the point. So it was that sort of proverbial game of two halves, really. First half was West Ham, as I say, although Sheffield United created the better chances. And the second half, I thought, by and large, was the visitors. So, no, all in all, I think a point was a pretty fair reflection of the game, to be honest.
Yeah, I do. And something that I thought at the time of the result, before I heard what Chris Wilder had to say, and he said it after, not that I'm taking credit for it, James, but he said this was the biggest test. After beating Arsenal, he said, it's how you perform in the next game. You don't want to have a result like that, and then in the next game, you don't show you really are, and then you go and underperform, and then you lose, because then that result on Monday night sort of becomes not as good. You want to show that you can do it consistently. He felt felt like this was a bigger test and a bigger match in that sense, and he was pleased we're coming away with that point. And I make him exactly right there. Do you agree, James?
Yeah, I agree with you and I agree with Chris. And I think, you know, I think we know exactly where he was coming from when he said that. Listen, clearly, and I know when people say with all due respect they usually mean anything, but I do genuinely mean it with all due respect to West Ham. Listen, the Arsenal game at home under lights at Bramall Lane, it was more of an occasion for Sheffield United. You know, that game will have been one of the games that Sheffield United supporters will have been looking at when their team got promoted. So I think, you know, and we spoke about this last week, didn't we, as well? I think it was when you said about this game's possibly going to be more important.
Mm.
I think the physical investment they made in that game against Arsenal, and you know what, dare I say it, the emotional investment they made in it as well, and we'll maybe get onto it later with something that Chris Basham actually sort of said to me just during the build-up to this West Ham game, which I thought was quite interesting about that emotional investment. They put so much into that. West Ham away is a big game. There's absolutely no doubt about that in that stadium, despite everything I said about it.
Mm.
But it's not quite got that same, I don't know, sort of like aura about the fixture. And, you know, I think the very fact that they've gone into that game, I think what that will have done for Chris Wilder is tell him an awful lot about the character and the personality of his team. Because you're exactly right. If they go out and lose to West Ham, it almost takes away from that result against Arsenal. But what he's seen there is he constantly bangs on. It's one of Chris's mantras. It's about always looking forward. It's about always looking to the next game. Doesn't really like to talk about the game that's gone. It's about the next sort of challenge in front of us. He, you know, and I would say this to him because I mean it in the nicest possible way. He probably bores people to death a little bit with that in post-match press conferences, but he's right. That's what people need. That's what Sheffield United need to survive in this division. And I thought that is exactly what they showed down at the London Stadium. Even more so the fact that I don't think they were exactly at their best in the first half. You know, it was a match where they really had to dig in and show some sort of mettle at times. So I actually get why. And because he's a manager who's so big on character as well and so big on personality, I actually get why Wilder had taken more satisfaction from that result against West Ham, as strange as it sounds, than he will have done the one against Arsenal.
Yeah, and obviously a man of the moment, talking about investment, Moussa scoring against Arsenal, then again on the weekend against West Ham. But it's weird, Chris Wilder, after the game, has said he's got to work on his conditioning. And obviously, you know, he praised him and what he's doing, but, you know, he added that in. And it's interesting because we spoke about when he was speaking about the keeper and then Henderson's performances upturned, you know. He was keeping him on his toes. Is he doing this now the same with Moussa? Because he could easily, you know, think, oh, I've just got the winner against Arsenal. I've just done one against West Ham. That's a point away from home. So sort of not get above my station, but Chris Wilder just very subtly saying there that, yeah, you're doing well, but there's still a few areas of improvement.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that's exactly what he's doing. And I'll tell you what, I'll take you back to when Lees Moussa first came in. Listen, I think there's a new cult hero developing at Bramall Lane, and quite rightly so. The kid's done exceptionally well. And I think he's the type of player that fans love to watch. He's got that sort of all-action style. He's quick, he's powerful. I think sometimes, in the nicest possible way, he's not quite sure what he's going to do when he's got the ball at his feet. So it's impossible for any sort of centre-half or full-back to know what he's going to do. But if we go right the way back, when he first came in from Bournemouth, Chris Wilder at the time, and his coaching staff, I'll say that, made it very clear that Lees Moussa wasn't 100% fit in terms of his conditioning, in terms of his physical fitness, not in terms of an injury, just sort of his cardio and stuff like that. And at the time, they were very clear. They said, this is because the transfer took a while to arrange. You know, it was taking place at a key period in pre-season that the lad will have missed because of that. I think a few of us probably doubted that a little bit at the time, but I think there was also some truth in that. It's interesting, as he's sort of established himself in the squad and as he's going, you know, great guns now in the starting 11 or coming off the bench, what you've seen now is Chris Wilder saying, actually, do you know what? I think he needs to work on his conditioning. He's not blaming him. And he made this point to me after the game. I said to him, well, why is it we're still talking about Lees's conditioning coming up to the start of November? And he he said, well, different people, different physiologies, you know, their bodies will react in different ways and it takes a different amount of time. But he went back and said, you know, he still needs to work on this. So there's been an interesting shift in position there. I don't think there's any criticism, and in fact, I know there isn't any criticism sort of implied at this point in time of Lees Moussa, but I think you're absolutely right to compare that to the way that he handled Dean Henderson. And he clearly feels that Lees is a player who will sort of respond just to a gentle little kick and a prod rather than allowing himself to become too comfortable.
Yeah, and this is why I don't think we're speaking highly enough of Chris Wilder. We can mention the overlapping centre-backs and the tactical nous he's displaying and he has been doing as Sheffield United manager. But it's little touches like this, just keeping the players on the toes, you know, because, you know, they might see it, the fans might see it, oh, we're in 8th place, we got 13 points. Yeah, but this is a 38-game season, we're doing really well, but it is October and there is a long way to go and it can quickly turn, you know, those draws can turn into losses. And I just think, you know, I know he's getting the praise, but it just feels underrated for me at the minute because, for me, the joy, one of the good feel-good stories of this season anyway, certainly so far, has been Sheffield United. James, I just want to talk about Sheffield United, obviously. We mentioned how good they are, you know, the clean sheets and the not conceding, how tight they are. They would have been a bit gutted with a goal they did concede to West Ham because it come from Roberto hoofing it upfield. Yeah. That one-touch Yarmolenko, albeit a fantastic one-touch pass, you know, subtly done, and then the finish by Snodgrass. But they'll be slightly kicking themselves at that one, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, Chris has touched on this before, just about, you know, the importance of sort of being able to tidy up at the back and almost make sure that if a team does score against them, that it's got to be an exceptional piece of skill or a wonderful sort of finish that they can't actually do anything about. But I think, you know, by and large, I think the fact that you can talk like that in the Premier League is a pat on the back for Sheffield United. And the very fact as well that they've got, you know, they went into the West Ham game. I'm not going to lie, I should have checked this, but certainly going into the West Ham game, they went into it with a joint best defensive record in the division.
Yeah.
And I think the very fact that, you know, they can go into that and still pick apart and say that, we could actually defend a little bit better at times here as well. Just be a little bit less sort of careless and have a little bit more attention to detail. I think that bodes really well for the future, doesn't it?
It certainly does bode well for the future. Talking of the future, it is Burnley next for Sheffield United, and then it is some tough fixtures. We're going to get to really judge them. Tottenham, Man United, then Wolves away. We're going to be talking about all those games with James next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the Sheffield United Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, on Love Sport Radio, and we are still joined by James Shield from the Sheffield Star. James, you just mentioned, and I want to quickly go back to that before we look at the fixture with Burnley on the weekend. And it's something that's not really spoke about because as fans, we get excited. We see Sheffield United beat Arsenal 1-0. Yeah, let's go to West Ham. Let's get a result. But it's not just, you know, the performance we have to worry about. It's how much the players have emotionally invested, mentally invested. It's not just the physical side of things because they would have worked on the tactics before, worked on their discipline, geared up for a game. I mean, you can get drained from it, can't you? And this takes a few days to reset, then gear yourself up for West Ham. As fans, we sometimes forget that. And I know you've had conversation with the players and you don't have to dive into them. But it is true, isn't it? Sometimes these factors from games are overlooked.
Absolutely true, and the sort of the instance I was referring to earlier, and it ties in really nicely with this. Excuse me, and it was Chris Basham, and it was just something. He was put up for interview before the trip to West Ham, and he was obviously talking about the West Ham game. I think the game against Burnley stands true for that as well. And he was talking about, you know, some of the sort of the physicality of the Premier League, et cetera, et cetera. And I just asked him, and I said to him, do you know what, Chris? Is playing at this level, is it tougher physically or is it tougher mentally? And it was interesting. Straight away, without even sort of, you know, missing a beat, without even having to think about his answer, he just said to me, the Premier League is far, far more mentally tiring, he said. And I actually come off the pitch more mentally tired than I do physically tired. And he said, you know, listen, and I come off the pitch feeling very physically tired at the end of matches at this level. I think the way Chris plays, he comes off probably feeling physically tired. He plays at any level, even a training ground five aside. But it was fascinating just to hear him say that psychologically it's tougher. And he said it's because of the level of the opposition that you're playing against. He said you just can't afford to switch off for a second. And you're looking, you're trying to read the little feints that they make. And sort of, you know, if he steps there, what will he do? And he said your mind is just constantly going. And I just thought it was a lovely little insight into how, you know, you often hear people, don't you, sort of, you know, and we all know the jokes about footballers, and it's not true, but, you know, that they're not sort of the brightest, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, don't believe a word of it. And I tell you what, I think what Chris was saying there, in terms of that football intelligence, is a different type of intelligence, isn't it? And they'll see patterns and pick up on little things and see situations developing that, I don't know about you, Charlie, but I certainly wouldn't on a football pitch. And it's just that sort of, that, as you said, it's that psychological, it's that mental input that they put into games. And do you know what? I think, yeah, you can do a recovery session, can't you, quite easily. There's things you can do to improve physically and make sure you're in good shape for the next game. Sometimes that sort of mental aspect of it, it's a little bit harder to switch off, isn't it, for these guys?
Yeah, completely, because it's easy, you know. They said they all go in the ice bath, they go in the chamber, you know, they've got all their athletic trainers. But mentally, to then start planning for your next opponent, you know, as defenders, looking at attackers, oh, he likes to go this way, he dribbles this way, and well, I'm just still getting Arsenal out of my head, you know. And I think it's a factor, James. I'm so glad you had that chat with Chris, because we always talk about it. When teams come up, they're newly promoted, all the step up in class, the ability, the talent that's on show, they're so they're going to face, and we never ever talk about the mental capacity of it, because it is true, they're mentally tired, and that's where a lot of these mistakes are born from. It's just that little lapse in concentration, because these players, they all have the ability, they're playing in the Premier League themselves, you know, a lot of them play on international duty. It's just that one little slip up, and it certainly seems that Chris Wilder, he has got them on their toes, and they're certainly adapting to it at the minute, because like we said, James, you know, 13 points, this 8th position, it's all boding well, isn't it?
It certainly is. And I'll tell you what, just going back to that as well, Charlie, one of the other big differences I've noticed since they've come up, and it's purely to do with money, this, because, you know, all of these scouting systems, and when I say that, I mean the software sort of analysis that people do, and the video analysis, and all of the information and the facts and the figures that get drawn out of that, all of this costs money. And what you're seeing is Sheffield United have invested an awful lot of this stuff since they were promoted, purely and simply because they probably couldn't either, A, couldn't afford it, or B, you know, more likely justify the cost when they were in the Championship. Now, the result of that is that these players, who are all very new to the top flight as well, by and large, are getting an awful lot more information thrown at them than might, you know, usually be the case. And, you know, again, I've spoken to some of the players about this. They want to take that on board because they're aware that it can make them a better player. One of them even said to me, listen, if one of the analysts goes to the effort of putting these packages and these dossiers together for me to look at, he said, hey, I think it's going to make me a better player, give me a better chance of winning the game. But it's almost just a common courtesy that I'm actually just going to look at this as well, you know. So they're getting an awful lot more thrown at them. And I think that's where, you know, that step up in class makes it possibly mentally more challenging as well than it does physically. Although I think, and I've probably said this before, I do think from what I've seen this year, the days of the Football League being physically tougher than the Premier League, I think that's long, long gone now. I think the Premier League is a physically tougher competition than anything in the EFL as well.
Yeah, I agree. And also on that, you know, you mentioned earlier the stigma, you know, people say, oh, footballers, they're clueless, you know, they don't have much of a brain. They just turn up on Saturday, 3 o'clock, they run around for 90 minutes and that's it. Well, there's slightly more to it than that. There's film sessions, you know, the mental side of it, the training, the detailed game plans. This is what I mean by it's not talked enough. Let's quickly turn our attentions, though, James, to the game on the weekend. It is Burnley. No game is easy in the Premier League. We know that. We know Burnley as Sean Dyche will, they'll be very well drilled. They always are. But you are at home, you know, obviously coming off the back of that Arsenal victory at home. But then it's a huge run. Tottenham, Man United at Wolves. And I'm not saying that they'll be looking at this Burnley game to get points because they're on a fantastic run. But it does kickstart the next run of four games, which are massive, aren't they, James?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is going to be a really interesting game for a couple of reasons. One, Sheffield United do need to improve their home form.
Yeah.
You know, they won't want to go through a season having to rely on their form away from home.
Which is crazy to say.
It sounds absolutely ridiculous, doesn't it? But they're not going to want to rely on that. I think the other reason why this is really interesting as well is because Burnley, Sean Dyche is clearly a manager Chris Wilder has an awful lot of respect for. He name drops him a lot in conversation. He uses what Sean does as an example to illustrate things that he's done and he wants to do. And I think very much there's a lot of people at Sheffield United behind the scenes for a whole host of reasons in terms, you know, some of those include some of the financial resources that Burnley had when they came up. Those have improved as they've stayed in the Premier League. I think there's a lot of people at Bramall Lane look at a team like Burnley as sort of almost providing a template for them to follow. So I think the result against Burnley is really going to resonate as well. And I think that just makes it, you know, even more of an interesting and sort of fascinating fixture as well.
Yeah, and actually, I think Sheffield United and maybe Burnley have been both undersold in this game because people are going, oh, two similar sides, you know, they're both managed by English managers, you know, they're hard to break down, they're tough, they're drilled. But I think Sheffield United and Burnley play better football than that. I think they're both being done a disservice. But it is a massive game on the weekend, James. How do you see it playing out and what is your score prediction?
I tell you what, I see it being quite a tight game because I think there'll be an awful lot of respect between the two sides. I don't think Burnley will arrive at Bramall Lane and expect to sort of steamroll with Sheffield United. I think they'll show them a lot of respect as well. So I think it's going to be a physically strong battle. I think it's going to be a tight game. My heart obviously says Sheffield United will just edge it. I wouldn't be at all surprised, you know, if you actually saw in this a 2-2 draw. And do you know what? Although, as I said, Sheffield United have got to sort of improve their results at Bramall Lane, I actually don't think that would be too bad a result, to be honest, in the grand scheme of things. So I'm not quite sure what I'll predict on this. I don't see Sheffield United losing. If they do win, I don't think they'll win by many. I just don't see it being that type of game.
It's hard to predict any game in the Premier League, but when you're on this run and we're saying, oh, the home form's not as good as the away form, it's very hard to predict a score because you're going down to places, you're beating the bigger teams and that. It sort of changes the view on this game because maybe this one would have been earmarked at the start of the season, James. We've got to get a result. But now they're thinking, we can get a result against Burnley. Why not? They should be fearing us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, what we've seen is fortunately the away form has been so good. And listen, they got a great result at home against Arsenal. Let's be right as well. So hopefully that was the start of a change in fortune at Bramall Lane. But you're absolutely right. I think the progress that they've made so far, it takes a little bit of the pressure off almost. Listen, the pressure's still on. You know what I mean, but in terms of that sort of claustrophobic pressure that, God, we dare make a mistake and you almost end up in this sort of paralysis where you end up doing nothing. And we've all seen football teams do that before. So I think they can go into this with a little bit more freedom. I don't think they'll look at Burnley and be, you know, sort of be scared to death, as it were. I think they will look at that and think, you know, do you know what? We can get at this Burnley side and we can beat them. I think Burnley will be doing the same about Sheffield United. That's why I just wonder, it might not be the, you know, so sort of coin a phrase or steal a phrase from Rudolph, the sexiest fixture that Sheffield United are going to play this season. But I've got a funny feeling this actually might be one of the most intriguing and interesting, you know.
Well, let's hope so. James, always a pleasure talking to you. James Shield there from the Sheffield Star on the Sheffield United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. And up next is the best of.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.